After addressing this matter last week, I learned two things. First, a lot of people, thankfully, care about this. Second, talking about it makes certain people in Trenton uncomfortable. I'm happy about both of those. What I'm talking about is the fact that New Jersey has the highest rate of death from COVID-19 in our nursing homes and veteran centers. It all hinges back on March 31st of this year with an order that was released by the State of New Jersey Department of Health, which reads, in total, on March 9th, 2020, Governor Philip D. Murphy issued Executive Order number 103 declaring a public health emergency in New Jersey as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. In order to respond to the increase in positive cases, there was an urgent need to expand hospital capacity to be able to meet the demand for patients with COVID-19 requiring acute care. As a result, this directive is being issued to clarify expectations post-acute care settings receiving patients / residents returning from hospitalization and for accepting new admissions. The New Jersey Department of Health directs hospital discharge planning staff and post-acute care facilities to carefully review this guidance with all staff directly involved in patient-resident admissions, transfers, and discharges. During this global health emergency, all post-acute care settings must comply with the expedited receipt of patients and residents discharging from hospitals. Patients, residents are deemed appropriate for discharge to the post-acute care setting upon a determination by the hospital physician or designee that the resident is medically stable for return. A rapid review of necessary resources to provide adequate, safe care in the post-acute care settings is imperative during this time. Hospital discharge planners must confirm to the post-acute care setting by telephone that the patient resident is medically stable for discharge. Comprehensive discharge instructions must be provided by the hospital prior to the transport of a patient resident to the post-acute care setting. Here's the key part. No patient resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the post-acute care setting solely based on a confirmed diagnosis of COVID-19. Persons under investigation for COVID-19 who have undergone testing in the hospital should not be discharged until results are available. Post-acute care facilities are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized patient resident who is determined medically stable to be tested for COVID-19 prior to admission or readmission. And it goes on, information for healthcare providers and COVID-19 available, gives a website location. And it goes on, as always, strict adherence to infection prevention and control measures and environmental cleaning must be made a priority during this public health emergency. Thank you for your ongoing support and cooperation in responding to COVID-19 general questions or comments about this advisory can be sent to, and gives the contact name and email for that situation. Signed, Judith Persicelli, Department of Health Commissioner. You know, Judy, you know, side by side with the government, those, well, now three times a week, COVID-19 briefings. Now, taking all that into account, let's go a little deeper and explore some things. Got a number for you. Because you remember the order saying how the post-acute facilities, basically nursing homes and veteran centers, need to be prepared? Got a number. 16%. That's the percentage of New Jersey nursing homes with less than 1 week supply of N95 masks. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services list New Jersey with a 7-day positive test rate of 1.6%, by the way, is having 16% of nursing homes with less than 1 week supply of those masks. Percentage in the Garden State of those with less than 1 week supply of surgical masks, 9%, and gowns, 12%. That's just the worst of the worst. There are varying degrees of the shortages, which I'll get to here momentarily. You may have been hearing New Jersey Governor Murphy and others embracing the results of $500,000, which you paid for, by the way, study into the New Jersey nursing home industry, how the system failed to address the COVID-19 virus that resulted in 6,700 plus deaths and the report has ways to address these failures. The report is bold because of what it ignores. And here's one. I want to give a tip of the hat to Dustin Rossiopi from BergenRectumNorthJersey.com for supplying a lot of this information. As I said, New Jersey leads the nation in deaths per capita at nursing homes. Thanks to poor planning and communication, certainly policies that were not fully focused on priorities. Yet a lot of the concern over how the state prepared for and responded to the COVID-19 outbreak, that's missing. At most, glossed over at best in that report. Governor Murphy, along with his health commissioner, his buddy Judy, called it an exhaustive, in-depth, and thorough report, which was conducted by Manet Health, New York-based company. Get to an interesting connection about them and state government in a moment. There's been a growing group of anonymous health and human services employees who have already written to a variety of lawmakers critiquing the state's response. More letters coming, detailing the report's flaws and how it gave cover to Murphy and his flunkies in the state. Along with the senior centers, by the way, New Jersey has had more veterans die in its veteran affairs care facilities than any other state. But you wouldn't know that with a report. The consultants did not investigate those losses of life. Where officials say the report falls short. There's been a group of anonymous officials in the Departments of Health and Human Services. They pointed about to a half dozen flaws with the Manet Health report. One of the glaring, obvious shortcomings was the state's formula for allocating test kits. And as you heard with that 16% figure, PPE or personal protective equipment. They're saying, as they did in previous letters to lawmakers, that not distributing those supplies led to deaths at nursing homes, and not by acknowledging that, the report's obscuring our leadership's most important mistake through consultant speak and high-level recommendations. The consultant's minimal attention to that directive I read from Persicelli to nursing homes, not even mentioned in the report. Remember, that's the director said no patients could be denied entry into the nursing homes solely based on being diagnosed with COVID-19. Now, while the report did not cite that directive, it did say the hospital should not discharge patients to nursing homes unless the operators attest that they can take them. The report did mention that nursing home staff earn low wages, work multiple jobs. But some lawmakers are saying more details would have been beneficial. It would be nice to know this to craft more accurate, more effective policy responses, which are still in the crafting stage, by the way. There has been no resolution regarding policy changes, improvements, or even policy deletions to get things on the ball. And there was no mention at all in the report of reexamining how nursing homes get paid. That's an issue that came up a couple of years ago when a virus killed 11 children at the Wanacue Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation. There is a, quote, perverse incentive, close quotes, to accept and keep patients, even without the safe staffing and supplies to do so, because the facilities are paid through Medicaid for the number of people they have. The more people they have, the more money they get. That's something that the anonymous, only because they want to keep their jobs, those of you know, you speak out, you get ID'd. All of a sudden, you're deemed non-essential, and you're told to go home, go away, don't bother us anymore. Medicaid, by the way, that's administered through the Department of Human Services. The health officials repeated a claim too that, in their previous letter, that Human Services Commissioner Carol Johnson interfered, trying to get ahead of the long-term care problem by pushing for the Manet Health study. For them to get the contract, that $500,000 contract, which, by the way, had been originally almost $200,000 higher. Here's the hook here. Carol Johnson worked with the co-lead author of the report, Cindy Mann, in the Obama administration. There's also an audio recording that surfaced of Judy Persicelli saying that Johnson has significant influence on the governor's office and chief of staff George Helmy. Persicelli also suggested there was another firm, Health Dimensions, that she wanted to have do the report because they know the work. But Helmy told her, we're going with the one Carol recommended. What's the Murphy administration say about this audio recording? The discussion never happened. I mentioned, too, the price of speaking out and being ID'd. The administration has fired an assistant commissioner. And since mid-May, this is what their priority is, apparently. They've interviewed more than 20 employees in the health department trying to find out the leaks happening that's feeding, what should we call this, the truth to the media? Want to go a little deeper in this whole thing? Let's go to the New Jersey Veterans Memorial Home in Paramus, where 46 residents had died from the coronavirus in 1 month. Here's the situation that was happening there. Residents who had tested positive for COVID-19 mingled in the dementia unit with others who were awaiting test results. Nurses' aides wore the same set of protective gear without changing as they went from patient to patient. Some COVID positive, others negative, others had tests pending. It was many times the janitor would mop the floor of room after room, unaware that stop signs on the doors meant an infected person was inside the room. This is a facility that's home to more than 250 elderly veterans. Many served in World War II, the Korean War. They've had more COVID deaths than any other nursing home in New Jersey, and now has reported more than any other state-run veterans' homes in the country. Nearly two-thirds of the residents of the home have tested positive for the virus at some point. Over the past 6 months, alone 93 of the 415 staff members and, at last count, 81 residents and one aide have died. Nearly two-thirds of the 185 residents still there tested positive for COVID-19 over the past few months. And there's a story of veteran Tom Mastropietro. He had been living at the home for only a few weeks. He got sick with COVID-19 a few days before his April 11th death. The 91-year-old had been transferred from the dementia unit to Valor, the designated COVID unit, where the, for whatever reason, the staff didn't know him. Get ready for this. On the day he died, his family was told during a morning check-in call that he was doing well. Well, in fact, he had died hours earlier. His body had already been taken to a funeral home. Meanwhile, the family of Mastropietro's roommate had been told that the roommate, was the one who passed away. They call the dementia unit the Serenity Unit, which it's a more graceful term, obviously. And despite the deaths caused by the coronavirus, Serenity's residents still gathered in the day room, ate their meals together. Nurse told inspectors that inspectors actually did come into this situation, obviously with the numbers being what they were. Due to their dementia, they didn't wear face masks or maintain social distance. Staff had no special training for infection control. The inspectors had seen 10, 12 residents sitting around the Serenity Day Room. When they would look in, none were wearing masks, staying or safe distance from each other. Someone who tested positive was sitting next to someone who tested negative. A nurse's aide told an inspector, what are we supposed to do? Well, a professor at Villanova University has a radical idea. They should have been closed down, especially given the inability to enforce masks and social distancing among the people they were charged with caring for. Now, as far as turning the corner, the Paramus home obviously could have lost its ability to receive federal Medicare and Medicaid funding if it did not fix the problems that led to all this. So there's their incentive on that situation. The administrators did put out a plan to give the staff more PPE, calculate its burn rate so they could have adequate supplies on hand. They add now a yellow caution sign to mark the rooms of persons awaiting test results. Tell the nursing housekeeping staff what the signs meant. There's a nice idea, isn't it? And close and sanitize the dementia unit's day room. Veterans Administration nurses were already helping to plug the gaps in staffing. They actually had National Guard troops on hand to help in non-clinical roles. They stayed for weeks, but by then it was all Well, too late. 46 residents had died. Another 35 would die before the pandemic ran its course in that facility. How has Governor Murphy reacted to all this? Dismissively, at least as far as this being a result of administrative policy failure. No, he's declared this to be a result of the center being in part of the state which has had a high rate of COVID-19 infections already, so that's why that all happened. So, that's the problem, in part. The solution. Well, you would think legislation. Thinking back to how the privately owned healthcare industry, in the span of less than 2 weeks, received pretty much blanket immunity from any legal action. You really have to come through with a strong case now to be able to sue one of these death centers. But this past Thursday, the Senate Health Human Services Senior Citizens Committee, along with the Assembly Aging and Senior Services Committee, jointly convened and reviewed 11 bills pertaining to long-term care, particularly facilities' response to COVID-19. This is, by the way, for just discussion only. They're only reviewing. Lord knows they're not taking any action. Just a few of the bills they're looking at. One that would require Department of Health to implement and oversee isolation prevention project in long-term care facilities during public emergencies. Another one would establish certain requirements concerning states' preparedness and response to infectious disease outbreaks. We have a bill that would revise licensure operational reporting requirements for long-term care facilities. Bill would establish additional requirements for Department of Health to assess sanctions and impose penalties on long-term care facilities. We also revise the reporting requirements for the facility, so you can see, at least in detail, what they're looking to do. There's many more on top of that, which if you go to the State House website and put in this into the search engine the topics they want to look for, most if not all of these will come up. So that's what they discussed on Thursday. Certainly glad these losers in Trenton could squeeze this discussion into the busy schedules. Well, they have a loaded schedule every day, patting themselves on the back, kissing the governor's ass. I'm talking to every member of the State House legislature of both parties. With all that I just said, does that make you feel uncomfortable? Well, here's what you need to do. You need to look into a mirror. And when you do, re-examine your pathetic job performance regarding this ongoing tragedy that's needlessly taken the lives of thousands of senior citizens in New Jersey. Again, it took these lying phonies less than 2 weeks to grant the nursing home industry, which is 74% privately owned and writes big campaign checks, immunity from being sued for COVID-19 deaths. How many months before any of these bills actually see a signature and become law? Here's my recommendation for you. Don't hold your breath.